my current research project is called The Catholic Closet. It's an international and comparative study of heterosexism and genderism in Catholic schools of certain Commonwealth nations. There are specific ones I chose, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom, primarily because they have so many similarities. And it's nice to have similar pieces of analysis so that you can then see what are the differences more clearly.
Okay, so how are you going about this research? What are you actually looking at?
Well, we're looking at the problem of heterosexism and homophobia and transphobia in Catholic schools. And it's a multifaceted qualitative research project, and so I'm only looking at one element of it right now with my research team, and we're looking at media accounts of incidents of homophobia and transphobia in Catholic schools in those aforementioned nations. So we don't need ethical clearance right now because we're only dealing with documents.
Right.
So there's no need to, you know, go and interview people, but later I would like to interview people in those countries. I don't know if I will have enough funding to actually travel there, but I would certainly like to contact them either through Facebook or other ways to contact people.
And what sort of pieces are you looking for now? Are you looking primarily at online and newspapers?
Yeah.
And what are you looking for specifically?
Well, I can tell you a little bit about our preliminary findings.
Okay.
So there's two types of media accounts that we're finding, and there are those that I would classify as falling into educational policy, practice, and curriculum decisions
mm-hmm.
related to sexual and gender minority individuals, so people who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer. So policy decisions. Now, an example of that would be things like, should a student be allowed to start a gay-straight alliance in the school? So that's a policy.
So this is a broad discussion. It's not targeted at an individual and an individual experience.
Yeah,
it's more broad than
more
that.
More broad. And then there are other media accounts where somebody is livid, they're pretty upset, and they want to go to the media now to talk about the homophobia or transphobia that they experienced at their Catholic school.
So that's the individual.
Individual example. So we're looking for any kind of account, anything really, but the ones that we're finding, so we classify them into two different types.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is policy, practice, and curriculum type of things that we're noticing in schools. And others are having to do with specific individuals and the kinds of things that they're experiencing. And, you know, oftentimes it's an LGBTQ person who's a teacher being fired because they're deemed as living contrary to Catholicity. And Catholicity is simply being in accordance with Catholic doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've discovered is that it's only selectively enforced, the Catholic doctrine related to sexuality and sexual expression.
Now, what time period are you looking at these, the periodicals, the publications? Where are you looking?
We're looking in the early 21st century, so from the 2000 to 2015. And we chose that time frame because with the advancement of same-sex legal rights in these aforementioned nations, but most notably Canada, we're the leader in that area, was in the latter half of the 20th century. So when you have advances in legal rights, then people start to recognize that, hey, my rights should be respected in all governmental situations, and certainly publicly funded schools. And a lot of people don't realize that in Canada, those Catholic schools are publicly funded, so they're receiving money from the public purse.
Now, this is interesting because when I first read the time frame that you were looking at, I thought, I wonder if there's been, because we seem to be moving in the right direction
mm-hmm.
with respect to LGBTQ rights, whether it's in schools or elsewhere, we seem to be moving in the right direction. Are you seeing less in the papers, or are you seeing more now as we go a little further along, more because people are recognizing their rights? What have you seen as far as the trends go?
I would say the latter, so more things are appearing in the news because people are aware of their rights. They're aware of the Equality Rights Provision, the Section 15 of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which protects against discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. They might have vaguely known about that in the past,
mm-hmm.
but when they know that teachers are being fired over this, and previously what would happen is a person would be fired and they're just thinking, well, I need to find other employment. I can't mount a legal challenge. And currently we haven't seen a legal challenge from any teacher that has been fired for being contrary to Catholicity and related to sexual orientation so far in this country, but I wouldn't be surprised if one comes to this fore at some point.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that there are more, it's just that we've become more aware
We're
talking about it more.
That's an excellent point, yeah. And thankfully to the media, like people like yourselves who actually tell these stories, it's so important to have these stories brought to them, just the general daily news. People talk about news a lot, and at home, over dinner conversation, people say, I can't believe that's happening. And previously, if it wasn't in the news, people wouldn't be talking about it. So I think that the media is an important partner for anti-homophobia education, anti-oppression education in general, because the media does an important, very important role to play to just bring these stories to the fore.
Now, speaking of partners, media partners, you also have a team you're working with. Do you want to talk about them a little bit?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'm working with some fantastic undergraduate students and my graduate student. I have one doctoral student right now and another person who finished her PhD, and she is interested in working on this topic because it's related to her doctoral studies. So it's just, we work so well together. It's such been a great collaborative experience. We send out documents to one another. We all read them and edit them and so on. There's Alex Esterhuizen, who recently graduated from our undergraduate program here, and she's currently teaching for Calgary Board of Education. There's Zach Wisbierski, who is a current undergraduate student here in the Brooklyn School of Education. Tanya Surrett, a doctoral student who's just up for her candidacy exam coming around the corner here. And Lindsay Harriet, who's already got her doctor, so she's Dr. Harriet. And we all work together on this, and we find search terms to use to find those media accounts. We collect them, we figure out, okay, how do we analyze this, what's important, what's an important story to tell, how can we categorize them, what are the kinds of things that we're noticing, and I just mentioned the findings earlier, the types of stories, mm-hmm. We categorize them into two different types, and then now we're going to be talking about them at the upcoming Congress of the Humanities and Social Sciences that the University of Calgary is hosting.
What do you hope will ultimately happen with the findings from this research?
Oh, it's such a great question. I'm just hoping that the homophobia and transphobia, religiously inspired homophobia and transphobia, will be reduced in these schools and hopefully ultimately eliminated. It's about time that these schools respect the charter or the constitution of the land in which it is, so Canada, Australia, New Zealand, or the United Kingdom. They all have human rights legislation that protect against this type of discrimination, but there seems to be these small pockets of human rights violations that continue to occur in Catholic schools, and I'd like to see an end to that.